not the last time I was here, but maybe the time before, I asked Lucille for that, the music to that song, and she graciously gave it to me. And so I want you to know that every Sunday morning since that time that we join with you in that powerful statement of truth, that every thought we think and every word we speak is a prayer. What are your prayers saying about you? The thing that I've noticed about prayer is it's always working, and we always get what we focus on, positive or negative. If there are things around that annoy the snot out of you and people that really bug you, call the one to mind. I know you got it, right? Because we spiritual types have to be careful, because we'd like to think that we don't judge anybody. Take a deep breath. We judge people all day long. It's just the way of it. It's just being human. To deny that isn't empowering, but to notice it, to catch it, there's something. And to catch the judgment and make it into a blessing. I say to every wedding I perform, and it's coming up on 400 here pretty soon, I charge every couple. I say, you know what? Whatever you're looking for in the other one, you will find. You will find it. If you look for things to be happy about, to love, and to be appreciative of, you'll find them. If you look for things to be annoyed with and unhappy about, you'll find those too. Be careful what you look for. You shall surely find it. That's true every day. That's true in life for you and for me. So I'm honored to be here on Easter Sunday at the Fellowship. I want to share with you just this. I found this reading that I used this morning. We did two services this morning at Unity of Royal Oak, and I bring you love from Royal Oak. They said, you're going where, Pastor? And I said, I'm going up to the Fellowship because I love them. They asked me. They have an amazing dinner, so I'm going to pray and they're going to feed me. I often tell my church that I'm going to get a sandwich board that says, we'll pray for food. And I go, instead of we'll work for food, right, I'm going to just pray for food. So it's all good. So I want you to read this piece. It was written by someone named LaVon Brown. Every year, thousands of people climb a mountain in the Italian Alps, passing the Stations of the Cross. How many had that in their ancestry, in their old church, the Stations of the Cross, right? You know, we did a service on Good Friday, and one of our congregants said to me, oh, goody, is this the part where we're going to crawl on our knees in the gravel? I said, absolutely not. Not. We're here to celebrate. Anyway, every year, thousands of people climb a mountain in the Italian Alps, passing the Stations of the Cross, to stand at an outdoor crucifix. One tourist noticed that a little trail led behind the cross. He fought through the rough thicket and, to his surprise, came upon another shrine that symbolized the empty tomb. It was neglected. The brush had grown up around it. Almost everyone had gone as far as the cross, but there they stopped. Far too many have gotten to the cross and known the despair and the heartbreak there. Far too few have moved beyond the cross to find the real message of Easter, which is the empty tomb. I was thinking about Easter morning with traditional Christians, and my journey, I think I've shared it with you before, I was Catholic and then agnostic and then evangelical, and then I found my way to Unity, which was a breath of fresh air at what we used to know as Church of Today long ago. And then from there I found my way to the Course, and I embraced both of them. I wrap Unity and the Course together, and Science of Mind and my own stuff now. Anyway, I was thinking about traditional Christians, and this morning if you've ever been in a big evangelical church on Easter morning, the energy, it feels like it would lift you, right? And they're excited because they are grabbing onto, Jesus died for my sins, I was a miserable person, and now I'm okay. Wow, and they do it with exuberance. Now, you and I have already understood that there was nothing to forgive. There was no reason to forgive, that God never punished us. But we've done a pretty good job of it, haven't we? Punishing ourselves and anybody within a 50 feet of us. Some of us can go out 100 feet. What if we lived the message that we believe from the Course, that we are all forgiven, that no one is punished, that no one is being judged, that all are equal? This message, we call it in unity, oneness. What if we lived that idea with the same exuberance that people in traditional Christian churches have for their message? What if we lived that way? Do you think that we would be a shining light out in the community? I think we would be. I don't know about you, but I've shared some ideas with you before about we are called to something beyond this room, something beyond this fellowship. This fellowship is here for a purpose. For 30, how many years now, Mary? 33? I think it's the 34th year. 35th year. This has been a bright and shining light. Now, the world still hasn't got the message, has it? Have you noticed that? Anybody here ever worked with someone who was just such a joy to be around? Just a joy to be with it? That you just really appreciated being in that person's presence? Anybody ever worked with somebody like that? Lots of people. And isn't it wonderful? It makes the day go by so fast. It makes the water tower conversation fun, the coffee machine conversation fun. And you always have a friend and someone to go to. And even if you're feeling a little bit off, that person can lift you up. Because, you know, we're energy beings. We're made of energy. All of the universe, everything is made of energy. This, you, me, the tree. Conversely, anybody know that person that when they start, you just want to put your head down? You know the one, Debbie Downer, Donnie Downer. Oh my God, it's so much work to do and we don't get paid enough and it's an awful thing. Wow. So what if you and I were like that first person? What if as we live our lives that we lived the message of the light that is in us in all of the subtle ways? I'm not asking you to think about going out and passing out handbills on corners, or preaching on the street. But what if each of us could bring Easter, I love that song, I never had sung it before, Easter every day. What if we could bring that message of the empty tomb, that there's no death here? On Good Friday, we symbolically put into the tomb, it was interesting that you read Marianne Williamson today. Marianne does a really interesting talk about tomb time. The time between the beginning of a process and the ending of a process. And I can't think of Easter without thinking about Good Friday. I think it's just some little Catholic place in me still. But they're a pair, aren't they? But we use them metaphysically. We look at the tomb being a place where we put any brokenness that we've discovered in us, any place that's not healed, any judgments that we've had about ourselves or other people. And then my experience has been if we leave it there, because you know how sometimes we give things to spirit with a string on it? We give it and pull it back and give it and pull it back. It's like, God, you're not dealing with this quickly enough for me, but I can't do it, but you're not quick enough, right? Back, forth, back, forth, back, forth. So if we put things into the tomb and leave them there through Saturday, through the time of transformation, then we go to the tomb on Easter morning and we roll the stone away and we discover the tomb is empty. What we put into the tomb, what we gave to God, what we asked to be healed has been transformed to light and to love. See, that for me is the great message of Easter. I'm going to share with you a couple of readings from A Course in Miracles. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Do not dwell upon it, but dismiss it as accomplished. If you can accept it as your own last useless journey, you are also free to join my resurrection. Until you do, so your life is indeed wasted. It's kind of harsh, isn't it? Until you do, until you join with me, until you join in the resurrection, your life is wasted. Such repetitions are endless until they are voluntarily given up. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. We like to think that we've left all that stuff behind. Do you ever find it popping up in you, some bit of former learning? There it is, out of your mouth, coming. The only message of the crucifixion is that you can overcome the cross. Literally, from a metaphysical standpoint, the cross is the crossing out of error, the canceling of error. It's also the intersection of divinity and humanity. Here we are. Until then, you are free to crucify yourself as often as you choose. Miserably, cheerfully refunded. Here it is. This is not the gospel I intended to offer you. We have another journey to undertake. And if you will read these lessons carefully, they will help you to undertake it. Again, what if we boldly lived the message of forgiveness and acceptance and oneness that the Course proclaims? What if we boldly lived that to just in our everyday life with all the people we come in contact with? I want you to think about the person who annoys you the most right now. And very often we don't have to go far beyond politics to find that person. But sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's a person you live with. Just notice how it makes you feel when you're feeling annoyed with them. Now translate that. Bless that person, whoever they are. Just send them a blessing. To bless someone means to give them, to want for them the very best that's possible for them. Because the same Christ that animates you and me, the same Christ's life in us is in that one. No more nor less than you. I have no idea where we are time-wise. You guys used to have a clock. Oh, we're good, okay. I want to share a little bit more of the Course with you. It's interesting, although I don't, when I come up here, I speak more from the Course perspective. I lead a class on the Course on Wednesday afternoons. You've all heard this, but I want to share it with you. Temptation has but one lesson it would teach. In all of its forms, wherever it occurs, it would persuade the Holy Son of God he is a body born in what must die, unable to accept its frailty and bound by what it orders him to feel. It sets the limits on what he can do. Its power is the only strength he has. His grasp cannot exceed its tiny reach. Would you be this if Christ appeared to you in all his glory, asking you but this? Choose once again if you would take your place among the saviors of the world, or would remain in hell and hold your brothers there. For he has come, and he is asking this today. How do you make the choice? How easily is this explained? You can always choose between your weakness and the strength of Christ in you. How many people here have had some experience where they've had to choose between their own strength and the strength of the one within us? Many of us call that moment surrender. Because we run up against the wall, right? It's like, I can't do this anymore on my own. I think that that's a blessing. If you've never been there, I hope you get there quick. How do you make the choice? How easily is this explained? You always choose between your weakness and the strength of Christ in you. And what you choose is what you think is real. What you choose is what you think is real. Is it the life that you've been living or the life, your past life? Is it the life you placed in the tomb? I don't think so. What is real to me? What is real is what we choose. And then the interesting thing is we get to choose again and again and again. Simply by never using weakness to direct your actions, you have given it no power. It's such a powerful concept and rich and rich with layers of meaning. And the light of Christ in you is given charge of everything you do. For you have brought your weakness unto him, and he has given you his strength instead. Sisters and brothers, that's the message of Easter. Whatever weakness is in us, whatever brokenness was in us, or just whatever maybe non-commitment is in us, we give that to him. He gives us strength. Strength to get through anything. Is anybody in this room have something that ever go on in your life that you didn't get through? No. We get through things. Maybe you're in the middle of it now. Hang on. It'll change. So now we come to our time. Like days of old, many challenges and problems. And I loved, Mary, what you said. Yes, it is every generation has its own. Wow, we could use more love now. We could use more love now. Well, guess where that love is going to come from? Where do you think it's going to come from? Somebody outside of us? Impossible. Can only come from us. I've come to the point where I believe that even with someone that we really, really care about, when we say I love you, what we're really saying is I love who I am when I'm with you. I love who I am when I'm with you. So the love comes from us. Now, love is an interesting thing. The more you give, the more you have. If there's anybody, if you take nothing else away from this talk today, if there's anybody in your life that you are currently at odds with, you've currently not spoken to, a family member, your ex, your ex's ex, 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 you know the ones. I'm trained to read laughter. I noticed the nervous giggle. Connect with that person soon. You will do yourself a great favor, because as you bring love there, as you heal that old wound, now the Course says there's no more, there's no greater love than when we heal an ancient hatred. No greater place. Many people are asking, hey God, why don't you do something about this? You ever ask yourself that? Rail, God, why don't you fix this? God did. He created you. He created me. The Course says that He created us. We did not create Him. And He created us to extend His love into this dimension. The question is not, will God do it? The question is, will we? Easter is about sharing this new life, sharing the love that found us, that lifts us, sharing it and making it real. The more real we make it for another, the more real it is to us. And then truly it does become Easter every day. Thank you so much.